So we're on the Mishnah on the Chaf base on the Aleph. So we saw, let's just quickly briefly review the Mishnah. Ein reichvin al susay, vein yoishvin al kisay. You may not ride on the horse of a king, neither may you sit on his throne, vein mishtamshim b'sharvitay, nor may you use his scepter, vein royin oisay kishuhu mistapir. Neither should you see him whilst he's taking a haircut, v'loy kishuhu arum, when he's unclothed, when he's in the bathhouse, shenema, soim tosim olecho melech, quote unquote, which we learn a drasha from, shetehei emosoi olecho. His awe, his fear must be upon you, and therefore you must not do anything which would be considered a lack of kovod or ema for the king. This we saw yesterday, so now let's see the Gemara. Omar Reb Yaakov, Omar Reb Yochanan. Now, this is a complicated story, so we need to have the story clear before we approach the Gemara. One or two facts that we need to know. We're going to be talking about Avishag. Who was Avishag? Avishag was the woman who was brought in to help out David HaMelech at the end of his life. David HaMelech, the Pasuk tells us, was unable to be warmed by clothing. However many clothes he wore, he was always cold. Chazal explained, because he cuts off the cloak, the corner of the cloak of Shaul HaMelech, and that was considered on his very lofty madrega, perhaps a bezoyin in a beged, and therefore he was not warmed up by the beged. So he needed assistance, and they called in this woman called Avishag. He was not married to Avishag, as the Gemara will soon explain. Now, David HaMelech had a son, Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, of course, was the daughter, the son of Bathsheba. But he had another son called Adoniah. Adoniah wanted also to become the Melech. But he didn't become the Melech because Shlomo HaMelech became the Melech. So there was stiff competition, as it were, on the part of Adoniah to perhaps set up a rival Malchus parallel to or instead of the Malchus of Shlomo HaMelech. So that's the important historical backdrop to the Gemara we're about to learn. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rabbi Yechanan. Avishag muteres l'shloimei. Avishag, having been together with David HaMelech, we'll soon see in exactly what capacity, would be muta to marry Shlomo HaMelech, but va'asura la'adonia. But she would not be permitted to marry Adonia. Why? So the Gemara says, muteres l'shloimei. Why would she be permitted to Shlomo HaMelech? Because the Melech hoya, because he himself is a Melech. Umelech mishtamish b'sharvitoi shel Melech. One king may use the scepter of another. In other words, everything we said before, we learned in the Mishnah, that you cannot use the chair or the horse or the scepter of a king. That's only if you're a common person. But one king may use those items of another king. That's not a lack of respect for the king, because he himself is a king. Avishag, if we continue this theme, is considered to be, as it were, an item that was used by the king. Which king? David HaMelech. So everybody else now cannot take Avishag, because that will be tantamount to using the sharvit of the king. What's the difference if you take the king's scepter, or you take the king's assistant, or you take the king's wife? The only person who is permitted to do so is Shlomo HaMelech, because he himself is a king. And that's what it means. Shlomo HaMelech is okay to use, as it were, Avishag, because he himself is a king. But Adonia cannot. Says the Gemara, why? Va'asura la Adonia. the Hedyot, who, because he's a Hedyot, he was an ordinary person, as we mentioned before, he was trying to make himself king unsuccessfully, but at the end of the day, he was not a king. So if he was not a king, then he cannot have anything to do with Avishag by virtue of the fact that Avishag had been assisting Dovah HaMelech. Says the Gemara, now the Gemara fills us in a little bit more of the story. Says the Gemara, Avishag mai hi. What exactly is the story of Avishag? Who was she? What was her role? Diksev, it says right in the beginning of Sefer Melachim Aleph. V'hamelech David Zokein Bo Bayomim. The Melech David became an old man towards the end of his life. And as mentioned before, he was never warmed up by his clothing. V'yomru lo yavodov. Yevakshu, his servant, said, well, let's find a woman who'll be able to help you. V'ksiv v'yevakshu nara yofa. V'ksiv v'hanara yofa ad mo'oid. They found the nara who was extremely beautiful. V'tehila melech seichenes v'teshar sehu. And she was a seichenes. Now, I'm curious, how does Art Scroll translate the word seichenes? We know what it means v'teshar sehu. She served him. How would they translate the word seichenes?
Who provided warmth.
Okay, so that's not quite translation, but it's more explanation. So she provided warmth for him and she served him. That's the Lashon of the Pasuk. Omra, now she proposed herself to marry Dovid HaMelech. Omra, so she said, Ninsavon, let us get married. Omar lo, so he said, Dovid HaMelech responded to her and said, I can't. Asirat li, you are forbidden to me. I'm sorry, I cannot marry you. Why? So look at Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara. Asirat li shekvar nosati shmoina esrei. I've already married 18 wives, as we've learned in the previous sugyas. A king cannot have more than 18 wives. So I've already fulfilled my quota. I'm very sorry, I cannot marry you. So she was not happy with that answer. Omrole, so she said to him, so she gave him like a moshel. Chasre leganve lenafshe leshloimoi nokit. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Chasre leganve nafshe kishahaganav choser. Somebody who is a regular thief and is more than happy to steal. If he's chaser, what does that mean? He's chaser. She'einoi moitze mokoim lignoi. He's got nothing left to steal. Can't find anywhere to steal. Anything that's available, he's taken already. So all of a sudden, machzik atzmoi ba'anova. He all of a sudden maintains ki'ilu. He's a humble, modest person. Ki'ish shalom, a peace-loving person. So what's the marshal? The marshal is, you have somebody who's an absolute criminal. He's a gunner. But all of a sudden, he finds himself in a situation where he's got literally nothing to steal. So what does he do? He makes out as if he's a peace-loving person, gets on with everybody. So it's all just a facade. The real reason is he's acting like this is because he's got poshut, nothing to steal. But if you'd have something available, he'd be the first one to steal. So if you see this fake type of behavior is all of a sudden trying to be Mr. Nice Guy, then you know all it is he's just not able to steal. But not that he's being chayza b'tshuva. So that's what she responded to Dovid HaMelech. Now, what was she trying to insinuate with this? Says Rashi. Chloima. What's the comparison to the Moshel? She was not happy with Dovid HaMelech responding that, I cannot marry you. For halachic reasons. She thought that that was just an excuse on the part of Dovid HaMelech. Was it just an excuse? What was really the reason? Says Rashi. Kloima mipnei shezokanto. The real reason is you become old. V'toshash koichacho. And you become weak and you're unable to have relations anymore. Is therefore ato oimer. That's why you've come up with this excuse and you've said, Shani asur l'cho, that I'm forbidden to you. So she was comparing him, that's the inyan of the moshel, just like the ganav would be perfectly happy to steal. So why doesn't he? Only because he can't, but not because he doesn't want to, or because it's osa. He couldn't care less about that. Just because he can't, there's nothing left to steal. So too, said Avishag, when you claim to me that you cannot marry me, why? Because it's osa for halachic reasons, because you already had your full quota of wives. I think you're just making an excuse. Really, you'd like to marry me. Really, you're allowed to marry me. So why are you coming up with these excuses? Because you're unable to. You're physically unable. So therefore, you've just come up with an excuse as if to say, well, actually, halachically, I'm not allowed to. That's what she, surprisingly, accused David HaMelech. So look back into the Gemara. Again, the first word on the line, Omra Le, she said to him, again, this was the Moshul, that when it's Chasre Leganve, when the Ganav is Chasre, he's lacking, he's got nothing to steal, Nafshe, for himself, is Leshloima Nokit. He all of a sudden grabs onto the peace-type mode and makes out as if he's an Ish Sholem. He's the opposite of an Ish Sholem. He's more than happy to steal and cause people a lot of anguish. But he makes out that he's Mr. Nice Guy only because he's got nothing able to steal. So she said, same too with you, David HaMelech. It's not that you don't want to marry me, or that halachically it's forbidden. It's just that technically, physically, you're unable because you're old man. So David HaMelech was now determined to prove that this was not the case. And then he was not weakened in koyach, and he was absolutely able, yes, to marry Avishag. Meaning physically. And the only reason he didn't was for halachic reasons. How did he prove that? Omaluhu. So he said to his people, do me a favor. Koru li lebas sheva. Please call my wife Bas Sheva. He summoned his wife Bas Sheva. The ksiv. And the posuk indeed says, Vatovoi Bas Sheva el hamelech hachadro. So he brought Bas Sheva into his own personal room. Omar of Yudah Marav Boisei Shoah at that time, meaning that night, Kincha Bas Sheva B'Sholosh Esrei Mapois, she had to, as it were, clean herself 13 times. What does it mean? Says Rashi. Kincha Bas Sheva Shebo Oleho Yud Gimel Bios. They had relations 13 times. Umakanachas bein tashmish the tashmish. Each time she had to, as it were, wipe herself down. Ubamikroze, where is it hinted to? How on earth do we know there were 13 times they were together? Because in this pasuk, suvim shalosh esrei tevois. There are 13 words written in this pasuk. What are they? Vatovai, one. Basheva, two. L, 3, Hamelech, 4, Achedra, 5, Vahamelech, 6, Zokin, 7, Moed, 8, Vavishag, 9, Hashunamis, 10, Meshores, 11, S, 12, Hamelech, 13. So our 13 words in this posuk, and that hints at the 13 times that they were together. What was David HaMelech trying to prove? You're accusing me of just making an excuse that I'm unable to have relations. Here, with his wife, he had 13 relations on one night. By the way, fascinating backdrop, side question. As we know, that when somebody gets married, very, very critical, you write the name in the ksuba. Or if somebody gets divorced, you've got to write the name in the ksuba, and it's got to be written accurately. And there are some names where there is a debate exactly how to write it. So somebody who's called Bas Sheva, there's a discussion, is Bas Sheva considered one name or two names? You write it with a gap or without a gap. So one of the main proofs is from our Rashi. Because Rashi says that the reason that we know there were 13 times is because there are 13 words. That only makes sense if Bas Sheva is in fact one word. If Bas and Sheva are two separate words, well, if you count up the words in the pasuk, you could actually get to 14. So the chayyur is muchach from over here that Bas Sheva is in fact one word. Then there are indeed 13 words, and that's the remez to the 13 times. Yeah.
Why did he need Avishag if Bathsheba was still available and it was 13? And that, what was the whole Indian of Avishag then?
Not sure. Good question. So Al Koponim, Dovid HaMelech was proving, therefore, that this was not just a merely giving an excuse that he was unable, but rather he was not allowed. It was an absolute issa. He already had 18 wives, and therefore he told Avishag, "I'm very sorry, I can't marry you." Now, there is an enormous halachic shaila over here, which, by the way, will further strengthen Larry's question. If Avishag was not married to Dovid HaMelech, as seems very clear from the story, because Dovid HaMelech absolutely said, "I cannot marry you." So we have another question. If they were not married, how was she allowed in Dovid HaMelech's room in the first place? What happened to the Issa of Yichud? Now, we learned in a previous Gemara, even with an unmarried woman, there is an Issa of Yichud, albeit Midrabbanan. So really, the Gemara presents this as a two-sided question, meaning Dovid HaMelech clearly was matir under the circumstances, the Issa of Yichud. Apparently, he felt it's enough of a tzerech, and then, of course, this further strengthens Larry's question, because why was there a tzerech if he had plenty of wives available? I'm not sure. But either way, he felt that specifically Avishag was necessary. Now, there would, in theory, have been an alternative option. What would have been the alternative option? The alternative option would have been, instead of being over Yichud with Avishag, he could have divorced one of his 18 wives, and then indeed he would have been permitted to marry Avishag. And that way, we wouldn't now have to look for any heterim. It would be perfectly permissible to have Yichud with her because she's his wife. So this is the double-sided point. Dovid HaMelech is faced now with two choices. Either you divorce one of your wives and you go down to 17, such that you can now marry Avishag fully fledged, and obviously Yichud is no problem. Alternatively, you do not divorce any of your wives. You'll have to take Avishag, therefore, as a non-wife, and you're going to have to be matir the Issa of Yichud. And clearly, that's the option that he went for. So why did he go for that option? Why did he go for the option of being matir Yichud when, in theory, he could have just divorced one of his 18 wives? So the Gemara says, what do you see from over here? Omar Rav Shaman Bar Abba. So Rav Shaman Bar Abba says, Re'eh, bo you re'eh. What do you see from over here? Kamo koshin geirushin. How difficult geirushin really is. Meaning, it's always the non-preferred option. Shehari Dovid HaMelech hitiru loy liyachid. Because they were matir Dovid HaMelech to be over the Issa Yichud, but v'loy hitiru loy legarish. But they did not permit him to divorce the wife. So even though in theory there were two options on the table, he could have either divorced his wife or been matir Yichud, we still went for the option of being matir the Issa Yichud just to avoid divorcing his wife. Yeah.
Was he with Avishag?
No.
Is
He's only
that so? Because if he was, she'd be
one.
ushered to Shlomo Midyaraisa.
Yeah, he wasn't with her.
Right? Do you understand my point? You can't be with the woman that was with your father.
Well, it's not quite true. It's only if he married her. Probably Aishas Aviv. Aishas Aviv. But either way, it's not again because they clearly were not together in the full sense. So they were matir the Issa Yichud just to avoid Dovid HaMelech having divorcing his wife. Now, this is a very, very delicate issue. We don't want to launch into the whole issue, but clearly Gerushin is an option provided for by the Torah. So as bidyeved as it may well be, and it's the option that obviously all parties want to avoid, but clearly the Torah tells us that there are circumstances where it's a mitzvah to be Megarish. So clearly what our Gemara means is, that where there is an alternative option, then gerushin should not be chosen. But there are certainly circumstances in which there are no options, and the Torah has clearly mandated that there's such a concept called gerushin. There's a whole sechta in Shas called gittin. I had a terrible shaila last week, very difficult shaila, which was so difficult that I had to discuss it with some of the gedolei hador. Somebody here in the neighborhood asks me, his wife's sister, his sister-in-law, was married and divorced. And now she's engaged to be married to a kohen. A divorcee is not allowed to marry a kohen, absolute issa d'oraisa. She's nonetheless doing so. She's unfortunately irreligious at the moment. And the question has become, is he and his wife, who's the sister of the kala, are they allowed to attend the wedding? On the one hand, it should be absolutely awesome to give any type of support or encouragement to an issa d'oraisa, especially in public. On the other hand, the parents of the kala really want all the family to come, and otherwise it will cause a big explosion in the family. Very, very, very difficult, Shaila.
What was the psak?
I actually spoke to, amongst others, Rav Kornfeld, but I spoke to Rav Moshe Hillel Hirsch from Lenny Brack, and he said to me that they should go just for a few minutes, just to keep the family non-explosive material. But then he has to walk out and explain, together with his wife, he has to explain to the family, I'm sorry, unfortunately, I cannot stay because it's awesome to be here, and I only came just that there shouldn't be a big explosion in the family.
Rebbe, what if you have a kohen in your shul that's divorced, and he's duchening every day, or even, you know, whatever, and you know he has a companion that's divorced? Is he also to duchen? I mean, is he allowed? Yeah. I mean,
well, if you want to hear a scary story.
So what are you supposed to do? You're in the kahal and you see, and you know this is going on, and like, okay, you're not so a guy, you know.
I'll tell you a scary story. Rabbi Yoel David will know very well Rabbi Fletcher from Ramah Aleph. Rabbi Michal Fletcher, who now lives in Eretz Yisrael, but he used to be a Rav in England, actually in Scotland, in a city called Glasgow. And he told me once, this was his first rabbinic position, and he was very young, if I'm not mistaken, and he was in the 20s. Now, as you well know, in Chutz La'aretz, Birkas Kohanim does not happen every day. It only happens on Yom Tov, so it's a big event. So here he was as a young Rav, I think in his 20s, maybe 30s, but very young. And I think it was the president of the shul, all of a sudden, takes off his shoes, goes to wash his hands, and he's going to Duchen. And Rav Fletcher knew that this person, prominent as he may be, was a Kohen who's married to a divorcee. So Rav Fletcher had no choice. He went up to him and said, I'm sorry, you are absolutely forbidden to do Birkas Kohanim in my shul. So he ignored the rabbi and said, I've always done Birkas Kohanim, I'm going to continue to do so. And Rav Fletcher absolutely insisted, it's completely forbidden and I will not allow you to do Birkas Kohanim in my shul. He ignored Rabbi Fletcher and went up and did Birkas Kohanim. The next day, he dropped dead. If you ever bump into Rabbi Fletcher, Rabbi Yehuda, did you ever see Rabbi Fletcher?
Occasionally, yes. Occasionally.
Okay. Okay. Next time you see him, ask him about this story.
I think he wrote a book or a pamphlet about stories that had happened to him, and I think that's in there, if I'm not mistaken. I seem to recall that. Yeah.
It could well be. So, you know, if you ask, is a Kohen who's married to a divorcee, is he allowed to duchen? I mean, obviously the answer is not. If he is doing so, is there a rabbi in your shul, Rabbi Larry?
Yeah, but it's worse than that. They're not married. He's got a companion. I know about his companion. Mm-hmm. And his companion's a divorcee, but they're not even married. So, you know what I mean? I don't want to be, maybe in Yovan, I don't want to be,
So I would bring it to the attention of the rabbi. It becomes his responsibility, and then you've done your thing.
I've actually even spoken to the guy, to the Kohen, and
And
I'm
he was.
like, so I said to him, like, what are you going to do? Like, what's your plan here? Well, there's ways. I'm trying to work it out. There's ways of working it out. I don't know.
Okay, back to our sugya. So either way, the Gemara proves one thing over here, that if there's an alternative, then will you do anything to avoid gerushin? Like we see in our sugya, even to the extent of being mate and issa yichud, they would sooner be mate and issa yichud than they would encouraging Dor HaMelech to divorce one of his 18 wives. So the Gemara says now, Gemara looks a little bit at the sugya of divorce. Says the Gemara, first word on the line. Omar Rabbi Elezer, Kol Hamagaresh es Ishtoi Rishoino, Afilu Mizbeach Moirid Olav Dvois. If somebody divorces his first wife, then the Mizbeach is Moirid Dvois. So, like we said, we have to be very, very careful. There are occasions where it's an absolute mitzvah minatoiro. Not only that, there are occasions where the husband is obligated to divorce the wife. Either way, the Gemara says that the Mizbeach Moirid Dmois, Christ his. Shenema v'sheines tasu k'sus dimo es Mizbeach Hashem bechi. The Mizbeach Hashem is crying v'anake me'ein oid p'nois el ha'mincha v'lokach t'rotze mi'yadchem v'ksiv v'amartim alma ki Hashem heye b'incho b'in eishes n'urecho asher ato b'gadat b'gadato bo etc. etc. So like I said, it might not necessarily be talking about every divorce. There are certainly divorces which are mandatory, and the Torah is clearly mandated. Another line, V'omar Rabbi Yechanon, V'item Rabbi Lozo, Ein ishtoi shel odom meso, Elo imkein mevakshin momoin, mimenu momoin ve'ein loy. Now, how do they translate this line in our scroll? Because if you translate it literally, it says that the wife of a person only dies because they asked him for money and he didn't have. So how do they explain that in our scroll?
Exactly like that.
Do they have a footnote?
Wait a minute, 43. Our interpretation is based on Rashi to Zavochim and compare with Tosafos, again in Zavochim.
Now, why is that a reason why his wife should die?
Yeah, claim.
Do they explain? Because of the stress? Why should the wife
no,
die?
No, this, I don't think they offer any explanation, actually.
Larry, you're on mute.
It says here, She asked him for money that he stole from somebody else.
So what's it? It's a punishment.
A person's wife dies only if he is asked for money that he had stolen from others and he does not have it to repay.
Mm-hmm. So he's unable to repay back. So as an alternative, as an onus, his wife is taken. Instead of paying back the money, he has to pay back with his wife, as it were. Okay. Amom Rabbi Yechanan, kol adam shemeso ishto rishoino ki'ilu chorav beis hamikdash b'yomov. The wife passed away, it's like churban beis hamikdash, shenema ben adam hineni lekeach mimcho es machmad einecho b'mageifo loy tispeid v'loy tivke v'loy somay divoscho v'ksiv v'adaber el ha'om b'boike v'atomos ishti b'erev v'ksiv hineni mechalel es mikdashi go'in uzchem machmad einechem. Omar Rabbi Alexandri, kol odom shemeso ishtoi beyomov oilom choshach ba'adoi. If somebody's wife passed away in his lifetime, his world, as it were, becomes dark. Shenemar oir choshach ba'oholoi v'neiroi olov yodecho. Rabbi Yosi b'chanina omar, pesi oisov miskatsreis. Literally translated, his footsteps become shortened. Shenemar yotzru tzadi oinoi. Rabbavo omar atzosoi noifeles. He's losing his advisor, as it were. Because whilst he was married to his wife, he was able to seek for advice from her. Now not. Omar Baba Chano Rabbi Yechanan Kasha Le Zivugom Kekriyas Yamsuf. marriage or bringing together two people is as kosher as Kriyas Yamsuf. Shenema, Elokim Moshe Yechidim Beisom Moitzi Asirim Bekrishoris. Says the Gemara, Eini, really it's considered so difficult as it were that it's comparable to Kriyas Yamsuf. V'ha'omar of Yudomar Rav, Arboim Yoim Koidim Yetziras Avlad, 40 days before the creation of the child, Bas Koil Yetzis, a heavenly voice emerges, V'imeres Bas Ploini Leploini. This has all been preordained. So if it's all been preordained, a heavenly voice long has emerged announcing who's going to marry who. So what does it mean? Why is it so difficult to bring them together? It's all been prearranged. Says the Gemara Leikasha, Holba Zivig Rishon, Holba Zivig Sheni. So a person marries first time round, that's indeed been preordained by Shamayim, and that is not kosher. But it's the Zivuk Sheni that's considered kosher. Now, there is, of course, much discussion. What does that mean, kosher Zivugan? Nothing is hard for Hashem. Nothing is hard for Hashem. So what do you mean it's kosher Zivugan?
I heard a shir on this. Kriyas Yamsuf was also not hard for Hashem.
Right, so what does it mean?
It's just like we were at Kriyas Yamsuf and we couldn't understand how this was going to work out. It was hard for us. The Amunah was us, where it was kosher. Like we thought it would be hard for Hashem. So we were misinformed to believe that Hashem couldn't save us. So too, when we have a Parnasha problem and saying, how is this going to work out? It's hard for us also to imagine that it's very easy for Hashem to solve Kriyas Yamsuf and it's very easy for Hashem to solve the Parnasha problem.
Right. Okay. Some explain in similar vein that kosher doesn't mean difficult. It means solid. The most solid evidence we can have of the Hashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Shiduchim. Two people are brought together very often from different towns or different countries or different cultures, whatever it may be. So kosher means it's as solid as evidence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha as in the case of Kriyas Yamsuf.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question about this wife thing?
Yes.
Is it only important to say that Hashem wants you to have the pain of the death of your wife, or is the inyan that since you have all the people that you took wrongly, now Hashem wants you to suffer in that you're not going to have a partner, you're not going to have someone to be with, you're not going to have, and all these different things that He's not giving you, that having a good wife gives you, is a kapara for the pain that you caused others, or is it the pain of the loss of a wife, or is it, you know what I mean, or is it the things that come along with losing a wife?
It's hard to answer. The Gemara does not explain.
But it says here, the Gemara says, you won't have a sanctuary to talk to, you won't have someone to talk to, you won't have someone to be with. So it's clearly that they're explaining why this